All right, poll question as we begin the sermon today. Raise your hand if you did not commit a sin this week. If you did not commit a sin this week. Okay, no hands are raised. That means we all have something in common. Since we last met last Sunday, everyone has done something wrong. Now today's gospel lesson, the prodigal son, is one of the most powerful and meaningful passages in all of Scripture, because it deals with people like us. It deals with people who have done something wrong in the last week, in the last day, in the last 10 years. Especially when you get older and you look back at your life, I'm sure there are lots of things that you wish you could have a do-over. When you're young, I'm saying when you're 5 or 6 or 8 or 10, you do something wrong and then immediately you're resilient and 2 minutes later you've forgotten about that. But as you get older and you look back on your life, there are points of demarcation where you take a certain road instead of another one, and then that decision sometimes has long-term consequences. I mean, how many people are 50 years old, 60 years old, and they're not happy with their career choice? They wish maybe when they were 18 or 20 or 21 that they took a different fork in the road than the one they took. And to get a do-over of that would require you to give up your career, probably your household, go back to college for a long time, and reestablish yourself again in your 50s. Again, not something that many people want to do when they're in the middle of their life. One of my points of do-over is I wish I weighed less. And we all know that when we get older, it's harder and harder to take the weight off. I mean, I wish there was a way to just sort of slice 30 pounds off, like 3, and then I would be good and I would maintain that. But of course, life doesn't work that way. You have to do the sweat and tears to work that off, and then it off. Sometimes people make mistakes in their marriages or with their children, and in extracting themselves and putting themselves back in the state that they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, becomes very difficult, if not impossible. So God knows this. God knows that everybody makes mistakes, some big mistakes and some small mistakes. But the message from God today to us is that God can forgive any spiritual mistake we've made. God can forgive any sin we have made against Him. It might take some work for me to work off 30 pounds. It's going to take some work. And it's going to take some work to improve other things in my life I need improving on. But when I come to a point and I want improvement in my relationship with God, it doesn't take that much work, believe it or not. In the book I referenced a moment ago, The Return of the Prodigal Son, which is our Lenten reading, on the front of that book, there is a painting, and the painting shows a father, God, and a son. And the son is kneeling in front of the father, facing the father. We don't see the son's face. We don't see his shame. We don't see his sadness. We just see his back, and we know that he's there. But the overwhelming figure in the picture is the father going to embrace his child. Now, the father is a much larger figure than his son. And the embrace of the father is the thing that dominates the picture, not the sadness of the son, not the wrong of the son, but the love of the father, who says, "My son came back to me, and I'm so happy, I'm so joyful that I'm finding my son back with me, that all I can think about is embracing him." There are two key verses in the gospel lesson this morning. The first one is that when the prodigal son, found himself in the slop of the pigs, having wasted his inheritance, having no friends, Something important happened to him. He came to himself. He realized that the situation he was in was not good. He realized that he had estranged himself from his father. He didn't need someone to tap on the back and say, "Hey, buddy, you messed up." He knew that in his own heart. And here comes a change. After he comes to himself and he realizes this, he says, "You know, my father's servants live better than I'm living now. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm not going to ask him for restoration to what I was. I'm going to beg his forgiveness and say, just put me like one of your hired servants. Forget me as a son. Just treat me as one of your servants. At least I'll have bread to eat and a place to sleep. It'll be better than the life I'm living now." And the second key verse in that story is when he comes back to his father's house, before he gets one word out of his mouth, again, imagine this speech that he's prepared. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as a hired servant." Before he gets one word of his speech out, the father runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, says, "Bring the shoes for his feet, bring a robe, bring a ring, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son has returned." And the son almost has to push him away and say, wait. "I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm not worthy of any of those things." And then the father's like, "Never mind. You came back. That's the most important thing. You came back." So when we come in repentance to God, God is always ready to take us back. And not only to treat us like a servant, but to restore us to even greater than we are. Not to restore us as we were, but to restore us even greater than that. And all it takes is sincere repentance. That's not to say, mess up all you want, and then throw up a flippant, "Have pity on me, God." We all do bad things. It means to come with a heart that says, "You know, I'm ready to change. I look back at my life. I've done something wrong. I'm sitting in the slop of the pigs. And I want to be better than this. I want to be better than this. So I will come back and I will throw myself before God, not expecting anything. Just asking for God to pity me. Have mercy on me. Overlook my many transgressions," which we all have. But we can know that when we do that, God is ready to forgive us. God is ready to restore us. God is ready to embrace us. We're coming to the period of Great Lent, and it's a time, now that we're in the Triodion, in the preseason, as I said last week, to figure out what kind of a Lenten season you want to have. Are we just going to mark off the next many weeks on the calendar and come to Easter in some almost meaningless way, because that's just what we do, we just mark the time? Or are we going to dig in this year and say, let me change something about my life. Let me look where I'm at, let me evaluate where I'm at, and let me make a goal to go from where I am closer back to the Father that I've left. Again, I said in my first question, how many people have sinned this last week? Everybody has. How many people have left the Father in the last week? Everybody has. When we sin, it's like leaving God the Father and going off into our own way, to our own country, where we make the rules instead of God making the rules. Instead of living in harmony with God. I was reading a book the other day called The Lenten Spring. I was reading a reflection that I reprinted in the Messenger. It was talking about why everyone in the world is sad. Well, not everyone, but many people in the world are sad. They get things, and then they want more things, and no one seems to be happy with what they have. They always want more. And in the reflection, the priest who wrote it said, so many people are sad because they don't have God. They don't look at God the Father embracing them and saying, I must be the richest person of all because I have a Father who loves me. I require other things. And in trying to get those other things and in failing to get those other things, then I'm sad. But if you buy that book, or if you study the picture on the front of that book, or you just study the icon that you all venerated when you came into church today, You'll see a father embracing a son, like God the Father embracing each of us, and you realize the most important thing I need in my life is God embracing me. And if God is embracing me, then all the other stuff doesn't seem so important. And if I have all the other stuff in the world, but God the Father is not embracing me, or I'm not embracing the Father because I'm too busy with all the other stuff, then really I have nothing. The embrace of God the Father over each of us is the thing. It's not the most important thing, it's the thing that we're all supposed to be working for. And absent of that, there is nothing that is going to bring us true happiness. Because the true happiness comes only from God. Now, in our church, we have a sacrament called the Great Do-Over. It's called confession. I mentioned this tangentially in many sermons and many writings throughout the year. But I can't stress enough the importance of this sacrament. This sacrament is a lot like this parable. We come before God and we say, this is where I have come up short. And God the Father, through my unworthy persons, waits to embrace you and say, welcome home. Whether it's my person or Father Michael or Father James or any priest around here who hears confession, we wait to embrace the child who comes back and says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, restore me to the state I was in at my baptism. Restore me to the state I was in at my birth. Restore me to the state I was in before my soul got dark with the pursuit of all these things that I've done that have taken me away from you. That's what the sacrament is about. It's about coming back to God and wiping the slate clean. People ask me, you know, what do I think when I'm sitting here waiting for someone to come into confession? Particularly when I do it at a retreat or at summer camp, and I'm doing many of them, and I sit in a chair, and one person comes, and they leave, and another person comes and leaves, and as I'm seeing the person that's walking in for confession, my first thought is the thought of the father, the prodigal son, seeing the child coming home, and not even caring necessarily what the sins are, but in my heart leaping for joy that another child is coming home. And I think, and I hope, that I speak for all the priests in that regard. So I encourage you, in your life, this year, hopefully, to take an account of yourself, but not to do it alone. To do it in tandem with someone else. Meaning a spiritual father, a priest, whether it's me or another priest in this area. But to sit down and take stock of your life. Where am I going? Where have I come from? How far have I missed the mark? Am I living in the slop of the pigs? Why am I not happy the way I should be happy? And coming back and receiving God's embrace and finding the true joy and the true happiness that seems to elude so many people. I said this morning that one of our members of our congregation, Ed Ryan, passed away early this morning. Ed was 91 years old. Friday. And he was a good man, and he lived a good long life. In fact, he was a brilliant man. For those who didn't know Ed was one of the most well-spoken people I've ever met. He loved to talk, and he could talk about just about any subject under the sun, which is very rare in the world today. And I saw Ed about 10, 11 days ago. And I didn't know when I saw him that would be the last time we would speak to each other. You know, and I was thinking as I left that encounter, I said, wow, 91 years old, that's a long time. I don't really have designs on living that long. I mean, maybe I will. If I'm destined to live to be 91, I'm not even halfway there. Thank God. And of course, last night, and this morning, if you read the paper, you know that one of our rock stars died yesterday at age 48. And if I'm destined to follow that track, then I'm in the last 10 years of my life. Nobody knows. Well, will you go to 48? Will you go to 91? Will you go somewhere in between? So you should think, because no one is guaranteed 91 or 100. Some aren't even guaranteed 48. So it's a time this year, as we mark this Lenten period, to think about where you are in your life. I hope that I have 40, 45 more legs to go. But maybe I only have 2 or 3. And even if I have 45 more to go, those are 45 incremental steps to take. I don't want to waste one of them so that I can come at 50 years old and say, I only have 35 more to go, or 25, or 10, and say, I haven't made any incremental step in my faith. So again, as we approach the Lenten period, it's time to think and reflect on where you are in your life, and our services and our hymns are not about hellfire and brimstone and what you've done wrong. They're about identifying what you've done wrong so that God can embrace you and guide you back to what is right. The overwhelming figure in the book I'm describing is not a contrite, sad son, but it's a warm, loving, and forgiving father. But the only way you get the embrace of God the Father, that warmth, that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness, that restoration, is to come and kneel before Him and say, I have sinned against heaven and before you. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen.